on the day of our independence, we would like to wish you a happy Independence Day to all South Sudanese in and around, in South Sudan and also around the globe. We are happy that those who are in the diaspora are able to follow us on our streams. Thank you so much for also following us on our social media platforms. My name is Irene Lasu, and as today marks 13 years since South Sudan gained her independence from Sudan, but as we celebrate this milestone, many South Sudanese are left wondering if the country has truly achieved the peace, stability, and prosperity it promised to its people. Now, joining me now to discuss the significance of this day, analysts Abraham Kwol and James Baboya join me here in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for always making our time to come and speak to us here on Radio Mirai.
Yeah, thank you so much for hosting us this morning. It's a very important day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, too.
That's right. Yes, Dr. Abraham, in your opinion, what are South Sudan's achievements since she became a country, an independent country so far?
Well, thank you. Let me take this opportunity, first of all, to greet and every South Sudanese across the globe and tell them that congratulations for this Independent Day, because this Independent Day is a contribution of each and every South Sudanese in different aspects.
Right.
Those who are carrying arms, those who are providing food, those who are giving advice, all of us had contributed into this day. Now, coming back to the questions that you are talking about, the question that you have asked, that what are the significant impact or changes that has come from the time of independence?
Mm.
I would like to begin by saying that we had create what there used to be, maybe there was something that people used to say, especially our brothers that we break away from, that they said, you give South Sudanese independence, they will go and fight among themselves.
They say that? Didn't,
yes. 2 years down the line, we begin fighting among ourselves.
Mm.
So it created a notion that South Sudan cannot manage themselves. But you know what? The same thing happened to the people of Sudan at that time, which they have problem now.
Mm.
So that mist has been taken away. Fighting is something human, because we said human being is a political animal, and they like disagreeing, even something that people will not agree on it.
Yeah.
So coming back to what significant things that happened.
Mm.
Now, Irene Lasu, can you, if you were to bring back the picture of Juba, our capital city, from the day of independence today, Juba town has transformed into modern town.
Yeah.
And you could see Tarmac Road, which has been done. Some had even begin going into some estates. Like you go now even to Jebel, you go to some part of Melekea, you come to Tom Pinche. You see that some Tarmac Road.
Mm.
That is something that could give you a hope. Because change is not something that can come big. It is something that begins small.
Mm.
Like the way all of us grow to the high we are, nobody knows how we reach here.
Mm.
So I could see that in terms of infrastructure development, it might not be attributed to the government, but it has to be attributed to the people of South Sudan who have loved their country and want to live in a better environment.
Right, right.
So that is one. Number two, you see when President initiated what we call oil for infrastructure, you have seen one road has already been completed.
Mm-hmm.
Juba Bor Road is a board that is already completed. To me, that is something that was not there.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
Now, the Juba Barkazal Road is also ongoing. To me, that is also a significant change, something that has come as initiative of the people of South Sudan. And lastly, one thing that I would like to say is that South Sudanese, everywhere you go, you have your identity.
Mm-hmm.
That is, now you have your passport that could make you to travel around the world.
Right.
People may not know what South Sudan is, but you'll be able to tell them, this is the country that I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of pride of having a sense of belonging, something that you call your own, is a great milestone.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. So, yes, Edmund.
Yeah, thank you so much for hosting me. I'm very happy today. We're talking about 10 years of independence.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that from a perspective of a human being, this person should have already been maybe in
a teenager,
yeah. Right? Started to speak and even started solving community problems.
Mm.
So I agree with one of our experts here talking about the independence. Obviously, one thing that I can be talking about is that we have a country that has been recognized internationally, a country that has provided citizenship for the people of South Sudan, and that's why people are proud.
Mm.
But a country that has failed to fulfill the requirements of the aspirations of the people of South Sudan.
Yeah.
When South Sudan was fighting with Sudan, there were significant issues, issues to do with the justice, issues to do with the liberties, issues to do with the freedoms, issues to do with the quality of life. I agree, of course, when talk about some of the infrastructural development that happens, but even the planning process for this infrastructure, of course, it's not, if you talk about Juba, Juba is not South Sudan. We talk about independence of the Republic of South Sudan. We expected equal development happening throughout South Sudan. We expected the money for this country to be utilized to develop road infrastructures throughout South Sudan. If you look at, for example, the analysis on how much money has been earmarked for the roads, we've lost close to almost maybe $1.5 billion. That is close to about maybe 1,800 kilometers of tarmac roads that has been eaten because of pandemic corruption.
Right.
So this has affected quality of life in South Sudan, and this has affected the frustration of the people of South Sudan. The good news is that the independence of South Sudan has built resilience within South Sudan's communities, despite the fact that there's so many economic, social, political, and environmental challenges. But I also want to agree with him in terms of the recognition, right? We're part of different mechanisms. We're now part of the East African Community. We're part of the IGAD. We're part of the African Union. We're part of the you know, the UN systems. So that alone is good. But to what extent are we respected from those institutions? Because if we don't have our governance arrangement systems in this place, something's going to be wrong. The good news also is that at least it's a bit of stability when talk about the peace, but we have been running a country for 13 years on transition. And this is dangerous in terms of governance arrangement in this country. So we will talk about some of the issues that requires to be done, but basically, when I was coming this morning, everybody's holding the flag. So people love the country, but people don't love the government. But we need to see a country that is beloved like today, and we also need to see a government that is loved like the way we love the country.
Thank you so much, Edmund. And Dr. Abraham, from what we hear Edmund speaking about, I mean, this is visible. Even a child will understand that we are lagging behind. There is so much stagnation around. What are those factors that are keeping us at bay, stagnant?
You know, I do agree with the fact that there are a number of things that are not going on well. What I talk about are things that were going on well. There are a number of things that are not going on well in this country. One of the very big problems we have in this country is the aspect of ownership. South Sudanese who are here, because when I talk, I will talk mostly with the South Sudanese and the government at the same time. Because ownership does not necessarily mean a minister, does not mean a president, does not mean any. It is every South Sudanese should be able to know that this country belongs to us and we have to make it be a better place for all of us to stay. But you know, because of lack of ownership, that is why now people in the government, when you are put to the government position, you are just only there to steal money and take the money outside. So there is not that love of a country that you need to do something and invest here. And this goes also with lack of accountability. You know, the government, especially the president, because of his heart of saying you want to forgive people, then everybody do the way they wish. So
they,
it looks like
they take him for granted.
They take him for granted because say tomorrow will forgive me tomorrow. For how long are we going to forgive people who are messing up the country? And this is where we need to begin it, to take things right. And that accountability cannot be given to president alone. It has been to be given to citizen. What are citizens saying about the ministers, about the MPs, about the people in the government institutions that are not up to their task? Can we really begin to rate them? Can we really begin to have a whistleblower for these people who had become headed to this country? And I think this is the message of the independent. Want to be independent? We also need to make sure that this country, people have lost life. For us to have the country, people have lost life. People have suffered. Despite the fact that we are happy today, people used not to be very happy. Now, how do we make people to take us hostage? That is something that we need to be talking about.
Thank you. Yes, Edmund, would you like to jump in?
You see, thank you so much. You know, The public is very angry with the behavior of the government. For example, they announced that they're going to do a first lifting of Juba City, and they are $35 million to tarmac 35 kilometers of road. They never did anything on that, and that money disappears. I was very surprised to see the last 3-4 days ARC working with the Bank of South Sudan and tarmac roads, just like 1 kilometer of road tarmac within like 1.5 day. So if they have that ability and they love this country, right, they should have done the same to every part of South Sudan, right? So there is a feeling in South Sudan that people love the president and they do the work for the president instead of doing the work for the people of South Sudan.
So that loyalty goes to the president.
Yes, and
instead
this is
working
wrong.
With the president.
Instead of working with the president.
Right.
Instead of working for the people. With tarmac roads, because we want the people of South Sudan to enjoy the roads. Because people die. We have martyrs. People die because they liberated this country. People sacrificed and they went for the referendum because they voted for the independence of this country. So those who voted, those who have died, they are equally, must be treated equally. And therefore, if there's access to services, it shouldn't be because the president is there, right? So this feeling that we need to place the president and every single time we must place the president. Look what happened last time. People, the president wants to go to Luri, and there was an issue with the Gudele one where there was potholes. And because the president was going there, the governor just pretended with the city mayor, they just want to fix the road. Is this the reason why we have our independence? We need to begin working towards the interests of the people of South Sudan. And it should not only be in Juba. It should be in all the 10 states, plus the 3 administrative areas, including Abyei.
Thank you. Yes, Dr. Abraham. Politically, what must be done to ensure that these biggest challenges are addressed and the people can start building a democratic future?
Thank you very much. You know, Irene, a country is like a driver. When you are driving your own car, you can decide either to knock it anywhere or to cut your own brake for it to be able to work well. This is how a leadership of a country looks like. So for this country to be able to move forward, it needs the president himself and the presidency, which means the vice president, the president, they need to take lead to be the drivers of this country. They need to make sure that some people should be given an example to be punished on daylight. So that now it acts as a trigger and a terror and deterrent to the people who are continuing to mistreat the people of South Sudan. So politically, we need a political will of a president to be able to punish those people who are not willing to deliver the service of the people. That is from the part of the leadership. Now, we also need the people of South Sudan also to be keeping leaders accountable. And this can be done through civil society, okay? Civil society should be always the voice of the people. Can you imagine, Irene, where in this world where you can make soldiers going for 8 months without salary? Where in this world? And these are people holding gun. Do they really think that these people who are holding gun will always be staying hungry when they are driving B8s, when they are doing all those good things, when these people are not eating anything with their children? This is something that is not, but you know what? There's one problem here. Me, as I'm talking to you, I joined the liberation movement at the age of 12. Almost 38 years ago. And when I joined that one, we were inducted, we were indoctrinated that we have a country that we should fight for. And you sacrifice. You don't need to benefit anything for you to get the country. Now, I am still wondering, even today, because that time we were all equal. If you are Dr. Greng, Salva Kiir, everybody, lo nasakul belila, nasakul belila, lo nasakul gej, nasakul gej. Okay? That was that time. But at this specific time now, why are we different? And some, we are still
so
thinking
are classes
that
now.
Yeah, there are classes, and we are still thinking that we should volunteer. Where? When other people are better than others. And this is where I'm saying the presidency should take a decision of taking lead of trying to give an example of how this country should be managed. And for us to do that, we have to stop about issues of transition. As he said, transition has become a disease. Even if we should have, to me, had been promoted, said better bogus election rather than this transition that is not taking us anywhere.
Edmund, is public shaming the answer?
Yeah, I mean, we have significantly seen social media getting people onto their toes. And we've seen some adjustments in government programs because of accountability. But it's not enough. I mean, as I said, it requires the South Sudanese themselves to reflect on what they need and how can they rally behind the needs. Not tribalism, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not like, oh, I brought this tribe, or no. But we should have an equal understanding about our needs are A, B, C, D. We need to rally behind the needs. And one thing that I want to talk about as one of the diseases in South Sudan, I did a research work with one of the East African institutions. We were trying to study how the state capture works and also how dynasty is formed. There are already some characteristics of dynasty and state capture going on in this country. And I think that is the worst thing that will make this country go bad. One, there's high level in terms of the rentsekers. You know, traditional leaders could come, embrace the president, you are the best. Even if you're not doing a good job, right? They will embrace a minister, they'll embrace a governor. And then they're given money, they're given V8s and all these things. And then they don't care about their own people.
Yeah.
We also have brokers, right? How can you have a government that is run by rule of law have brokers? People who have, for example, ARC is one of the brokers. The Ministry of Roads do not have the money, but the president will say, Bolmel, do you have the money, right? Where would the national money be kept by an individual?
Yeah.
And why would you borrow money from Kwira Jing? Why would you borrow money
but
from...
Where do they even get money?
Yes, from, right?
That's a question.
That's
a
big question,
So if you begin seeing government being run by proxies, then that is a worry for the people of South Sudan. So I think this independence requires us to begin to reflect on how do we move forward? And at the same time, government tells us there's no money. We have organized events without money. The ministers said they were told in the army you eat bolila, you eat the grass, and things like that.
Yeah.
You can even organize Independence Day with only water.
And this is what people are advocating for.
For
that we don't
13
need,
years.
We don't need anything.
And every member should come with their own water.
Yes.
We don't even need everybody come with their own water.
Because it's independence celebration. But he said there's no, because there's no money, no independence celebration. For 13 years.
But for how long now?
I think the issue was the government is ashamed. The government has offered little. The government has no program for the future. The government is stuck. The government has involved in so many bad things. So they don't want to organize an event that will ashamed them. And when I talk about the government, I'm talking about all the people, whether political parties or things like that. They are part of that, including the civil society, including the citizens.
Right.
Because if it is a failure, everybody has failed.
Everybody has failed.
So
but what we want to do
we
is...
We ashamed to face each other.
That's correct.
Right.
And there's no leadership to say, okay, please, we have made something terrible.
Right.
Today is a day to reconcile and let us move forward as
Edmund,
people.
Just hold the thought. We're having
and
our news
headlines. And you know, I really let me add this
headlines.
On top.
Just hold the thought. I'll be back with you. Stay on the line. Yes, in case you just joined us, we're speaking about South Sudan at 13, the journey politically and economically. You're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show, and my name is Irene Lasu. Do stay tuned. And, of course, we continue with the conversations right here on Radio Miraya. On this day, I am glad to be joined in the studio by Dr. Abraham Kwol Nguyen, and also we have Boboya Edmund. We are speaking about South Sudan at 13. Yes, before we went for the news headlines, Doctor, you wanted to add.
Yes,
continue, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Irene Lasu, for welcoming us back for the second session. Now, what I want to add on what he was saying is that there is this notion of people saying that they want to be blaming others. Okay? And none of us want to take the responsibility.
Blame games.
Now, you know one thing which I don't always like, which is not even good with economy, is an aspect that we believe there are tycoons in the market and good businessmen when in reality they're not doing business.
Right.
Just getting contract from a government is not a business. Okay? Because you are only getting ready-made money, which is not, you are not supposed to add, there's no value added.
Also through connections.
Through connections. Yes. Things are also inflated. It's something that is supposed to cost $1,000, cost maybe $100,000. So this is where, and this is where now some of these people, because they don't have money, the government doesn't have money, people come back and say, we are borrowing from the, borrowing what? They have our money. And in fact, those people should become accountable
for taking public funds for doing nothing.
Right.
That should be the reality.
Right. But how do we go about that, accountability?
We need two aspects. It will come in, because it's from civil society, and you will be able to know what is happening. But technically, there are two aspects to that. A civil society should be a whistleblower.
Yeah.
Okay, that whistleblower. And then number two, the government through the president here said has to take action to listen to the voice of the people. And why is that thing supposed to be done? Because if these people who blow the whistle become the victim, then the government doesn't want a good thing. Okay? So these people who come whistleblower need to be protected by the government, and the government need to take action so that the people of South Sudan will be happy.
You know, one thing that really made me feel bad as a human being and somebody who's matured in this country is that the government complains there's no money, but they allow leakage, right? They allow a pandemic corruption to happen, money that is supposed to go to the consolidated accounts to continue to disappear, in the watch of the president, in the watch of all the leaders in this country. And every single time they say we can't pay civil servants, we can't pay the army, we can do independent celebration like today, we can work on these roads, we can work on health services, right? So I really want to call the every South Sudanese, including Salva Kiir himself as our president, to really begin thinking about if they love this country, they must allow the measures to take place in terms of making sure that the money that is belonging to services is really there, that collections is happening, that this money is going to the controller's account, that every single expenditure happened within the framework of the law. We have, I mean, the Public Finance and Accountability Act is very clear. We have a public procurement disposal act. We need to begin looking on how do we run government as any other country that is democratic. We have that capability, but we're not interested because we like pleasing others. Right now, there's a lot of, as I said, we're paying loyalties to those who help us. The guys who help to secure Salva Kiir during the conflict of 2013, 2016, needs to be paid back. The guys who secure Riek Machar 2013, 2014 conflict needs to be paid back. The sour guys are doing the same. So they're stealing public funds to please their bases. And this has have a negative impact in the way we're supposed to economically provide services to the people of South Sudan. So what I'm saying here is it's time, in the name of God, for people to really begin to style up and begin to provide real leadership, political will, and governance processes that can steer this country to become like any other country. I'm very, very shocked when you see Elia Lomuro coming out and say, oh, we have $10 million exchanging SSSP, and this money was then eaten in between, right? At the same time, the government say, no, we have no money. So when money is stolen, you know there's money. When people want money, there's no money, right? So I was very shocked to see, I mean, like you saw yesterday, we thank that the funding of the building has been at the Bank of South Sudan, over $120, $130 million. We have the president's day one, that the building right now, it's about $150 million, right? And in between, it just ended. If you do statistically speaking, the presidential complex, the day one, and other buildings in town, including the one for national security, it gives you closer to about $1 billion of infrastructure in Juba. And 50% of that money has already been eaten. And the structure just staying. So why would, under the watch of the president, allow this to happen? Why would the citizens just keep watching as if somebody else is going to come? They must begin taking ownership. They have to work with the leaders. If not coming on the street, they have to in funerals in their house, because these leaders are with our own. They are our relatives. They are our in-laws. They are our sons. They are our uncles. We should be able to have a conversations in those structures to tell them, please, enough is enough. Because we're tired. And if you look at, for example, most children in town, people with gray, I mean, like brown hair, is because of lack of food. People queue for bread. This is a country that produces can produce a lot of food, nutritional food. Why would, under the watch of the government, allow this kind of characteristics of nutrition issues, malnutrition, lack of, food, hunger, right? So I really, very honestly want to ask the government and the people of South Sudan that let us have a conversation that this 13th year of independence should bring about real issues that help us to succeed and become better so that we improve quality of life, we address poverty, we address hunger, and also make sure that people have access to better health facilities, education, and prosperity and all.
Thank you so much.
I need to add something here. You know, this is very interesting. And you know one of the things, one of the key area that we have all taken it wrong is that we have taken conflict as a business. Okay? How have we taken conflict as a business? We have taken conflict as a business because by you rebelling, you have to be rewarded. And I have always given, because I have a lot of public talks, I always point at individuals and I say, from zero to this very high position, what miracle did you do? And you do a statistic, you go around the country, you ask the children, say, do you want to be a leader? He said, yes. How do you want to be a leader? You know, when I grow up, I just go to the bush of Yeyer, I just go to the bush of Maridi, I just go to the bush of Juba, Mangala here, I come back, I become a minister.
That's what kind of
attitude are we teaching our children?
Wow.
Okay? This is something that we need to do. And you know what? That is why now I also predicted some time back. I said the government is dragging food. The signatories agreement are dragging feet on the implementation because they want the time to expire and they use the whole out group as an avenue for extension. This is what I said almost like 3 years ago. And this is what I'm trying to see now. Now, do everybody need to go to Nairobi? You go to Kampala, you go to Addis, and after a few, you are appointed, you come back as a minister, you come back as a general. What are we teaching ourselves?
Right. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for making our time to speak to us. And speaking about malnutrition and hunger, all these things cannot be spoken about without insecurity, cannot be spoken about without the economy. Now, of late, we have been facing misfortunes as a country when it comes to our economy. What must be the priorities of a government, Dr. Abraham?
Well, you know, a consuming country will never progress no matter how you try. Even if, I also said one time, even if you make a miracle of bringing Jesus here to come and improve our economy, when everybody will continue consuming, we'll never go anywhere. A economy should be able to be a producing economy.
So it's a cycle.
So it's a cycle. You have to produce something. You know, we import everything, and I always say it, even if we have to make ourselves to be something that will be in need, Abraham will be imported from Kampala for me to come and survive here in South Sudan. So we need to embark on agriculture. And I've seen in the current budget being proposed, agriculture has been given a big portion. But I am not also sure how that big portion will not have been stolen. So there is no assurance that even if money is allocated for doing the right thing, it will still disappear. So this is now, if that money is allocated, we have to see the outcome of that. And all of us should have the eyes there, the president, the citizen, and everybody.
Yes, my boy.
So I want to say this, and I'm going to advocate, I've already done the preliminary analysis of the budget. They have increased the budget by 14% from 2.1 trillion to 2.4 trillion. So about 900 something billion that has been added. So I am telling the government, let us use part of that money to tarmac roads to agricultural producing countries. I really want to see. I'm asking Salva Kiir Mayardit as our president. Let him give directives for tarmacking Juba-Yei-Kaya Road, Juba-Yambi Road. These roads need to be tarmacked this year. So that
within six months,
because now they have told us that they can tarmac 1.5 kilometer of road within one day.
Yesterday, the day before yesterday, they've done that.
So we want, within 6 months, they must tarmac Juba-Yei-Kaya Road so that the people of Yei and Morobo, who produce a lot of food, can bring the food to Juba. Also, to Yambio needs to be tarmacked. Let me tell you, I'm not opposing, but they have tarmacked the road to Bor. But if you look at the economic incentives
from there,
it's not significant. Only thing that is good is that
it's fish.
And I thank God for that.
It's also being misused.
Let them tarmac the roads, once they've tarmacked the road, then they begin to provide money to farmers.
Okay.
And not everywhere, but specific areas as a pilot. Then in the next year, they start to push up. So those two. But of course, they also need to talk about security arrangements and things like that.
Right.
That is important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
But you know, there are things that you don't. You know, security is a complicated thing.
Yeah.
Mm. You create an environment that will make people happy. That will even issues of security will solve themselves.
Yeah, of course.
What I need to add on top of that, as a way of improving farming, mm-hmm. we need to have agricultural cooperatives.
Right.
And we need to have a national institution. You know, we used to have an institution called South Sudan Microfinance Development Facility.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be funded through World Bank,
mm-hmm.
which promote financial inclusion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when the war began 2016, it was stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you stop something that is for the livelihood of the people?
Mm-hmm.
Things to do with empowerment cooperative, empowerments of SACOs, and then the microfinance institution. These are the institutions that are very close to the vulnerable people that should be able to give them some seed capital to be able to invest either in farming or in business.
Right.
And that's the thing what we need
to
do.
That's right. And it's just a quarter to the top of the hour. I would like to give an opportunity to one or two callers if you have any contribution or burning question that would like to ask our experts here in the studio. 0929686297, 0912062950, or 0912062079. On this event of South Sudan at 13, we are speaking about our political situation and also economic situation. What are some of the strides and what are the areas that need improvement? Yes, Radio Mirai, good morning. Hello, Mirai.
Hello, Irene.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
Thank you. This is John.
Yes, John, straight to the point. What's your question?
You know, I'm actually, you know, had listened to what they are saying. What I want to ask from our civil society organizations, they are not loud enough. They have said all that they have said. But why is it that, you know, they are not that loud enough? Because some of them are also preachers and some of them are also being used by the same political leaders. So when will they also join the side of the citizens, at least to raise their concern and their voice?
Okay, thank you so much. Yes, my boy.
Yeah, we've been very, very loud enough. And that's the reason why some of them who are very loud, like the PCCA, they were signed out of the country.
Mm.
So the government is not willing to accept accountability. They are not interested in service delivery. They're not interested to provide, you know, good things to this country. So when you begin to hold them accountable, you become an enemy. I promise you, most of the independent civil society in this country has been branded as an IO or government or something like that.
Mm.
But we committed that we promote our values. We want to make sure we're in partnership with the government to allow for things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we will continue to dialogue with government.
Right.
The good news is that even today, I mean, I'm speaking on behalf of the people of South Sudan.
Mm.
I'm representing over thousands of civil society. And we're not afraid to talk about those issues. And that's why some of the experts like Dr. Isaiah are here to sort of raise the voices of the South Sudanese who could not speak to their own leaders.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're speaking to our own government leaders to listen to the cry of the people. And if they don't want to adjust, time will come where they will adjust.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now let's take one more caller. Yes, Radio Mary, good morning.
Yes, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, how are you, Irene?
I'm fine, thank you. Who am I speaking to?
You are talking to Simon Nye.
Yes, Simon. Tell me, what is your question?
My question is about agriculture. I'm talking about agriculture. We're having problems.
We are losing you. I think your network is bad. If you're inside the house, can you kindly move out?
Yeah, I'm outside now.
Okay.
Yeah, they're talking about agriculture, farming, and other things, improving agriculture in the country. But mostly, but we as farmers, we're having a lot of problems when it's coming to security. Sometimes you go to the farm and you'll be getting yourself maybe arrested, maybe beaten, and a lot of things that even don't know where this one comes from.
Hmm.
Now, if all those things are happening in the country, how can the farmers produce more food in order to supply the country? And how can these people help us to address the issue of security?
Okay.
You are seeing that even our security forces are running hungry because even there's nothing in their hands. You work, you are not paid, and a lot of things. Now that has become even a fear to us as farmers in the bush.
All right, thank you so much. Yeah. Dr. Abraham, you can take that up.
Well, this is asking and raising a very crucial questions, mm-hmm. that the security of the citizens, especially the rural area, is paramount. But one thing that we need to do is that the insecurity we have in this country is an insecurity that we create by ourselves. Mm. Okay? Mm. Why am I saying this? You know, somebody removed from Juba and he has to go back to their village, tell the people they have removed us. When they were eating alone in Juba, were the citizens at the periphery, were they part of that?
Mm.
They were not. And then we blindly follow them and try to fight for them to come back to the power.
Mm.
And that is why I say this one, like I think 2 years ago, mm. you might have seen, I said through IRADI that anybody who rebel in this country should take his wife and the children to the front line and come and ask the children of other people.
Mm.
Because now the children are in London, the children are in Kampala, and he has a liberty to say that I had been removed and now you have to support me, you have to fight for us, fight for our right. Now we have to wake up. Let these people who are even suffering, like the one we have just talked in Ye, if there is any problem that is bringing problem across the country, including Ye, is because our youth who are vulnerable in the village are used as a tool of keeping people in power in Cuba. Mm. They need to advise their kids there. Mm. And all those things will begin subsiding down.
Right.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, so, we're running out of time. Yes, Edmund.
Yeah, just quickly.
Minute.
Yeah, so I think what I want to say in terms of Ye is that we want to ask the government to really have a genuine dialogue with the rebel groups in that area. And number two, they have deployed some unified forces, but of course those forces are not neutral. So if they can be able to deploy the neutral forces, we'll have to secure that place. And then lastly, they must be able to also pay the army. Because if you deploy people in that area and they're not being taken care of, they go and loot properties from people because they want to also have access to food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you can take care of the food and other services for the soldiers, it may bring a bit of stability in that area. And I think there must be genuine dialogue and genuine considerations of some of those issues to be addressed in the grassroots,
right.
including deployment of police and enhancing security capabilities in that area.
Right. Yeah. Gentlemen, we do appreciate your time. Lastly, what is your independence message to the people of South Sudan, Doctor?
My message to the people of South Sudan is that hard time don't last, or tough time don't last, but tough people last.
That's right.
Which means the people of South Sudan are suffering. They had suffered during the liberations. They have voted for referendum. They got their independence. They have to work for this country to become better.
Mm.
God will not come from heaven. Nobody will come outside the country to come and make South Sudan a better place to be. It is us will make it a better place.
That's right. Thank you so much, Dr. Abraham. Yes, Baboy.
Yeah, what I want to say is the message of hope to all the South Sudanese. Let them continue to build resilience as they're doing now.
Mm.
But then let them continue to hold their leaders accountable and let them own the country.
Mm.
And let them participate in all aspects of development and prospects that are more taking them to, addressing the social justice issues and also addressing poverty in South Sudan.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Abraham and Baboya. Thank you so much for your time.